Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Shazam gets its
what?
Who did we say? Oh yeah, Shazam gets its Billy Batson. What else we got to talk about? Oh yeah, Black Adam gets a writer. Oh yeah, Ray Fisher replaced Cyborg in Justice League is with us today on DC Movie News.
Where is he? I hate that guy. Where is he?
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled...
Oh, yeah!
Welcome.
The cosmic legend...
No big deal, guys.
No big deal at all. Listen. It's great to be here. Sorry for the tardiness. I had to iron my Borg Life t-shirt.
So, you're looking good.
Thank you.
You've got several of those t-shirts, don't you?
I've got like one, maybe two, 20 of them for sure.
I want one of those t-shirts.
You know what? I'm working tirelessly to bring them to people. So hopefully before Christmas, we'll have something up and running.
Absolutely.
So it'll be all shapes, sizes, colors, creeds, whatever.
Guys, I don't know if you know of this, but this is real right here. This is not a projection from Cyborg. This is not some kind of artificial thing. It's not a hologram. There's no fake Tupac or Elvis here.
I'm here.
Ray Fisher, we said, hey, we're celebrating our 3-year anniversary on the Popcorn Talk Network. Three years the day that we started DC Movie News before there really were DC movies.
Well, yeah, I mean, there were some that not in the DCEU.
Not
that
in the DCEU,
we know currently,
but
yes.
To talk about. Yeah. Mostly the Swamp Thing stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the most amazing thing, and we're so excited to have you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining us, as always, of course, Johnny LaQuasto can't be here today. Hopefully, we'll be hearing from him a little bit later in the show. The rest of the panel, of course, Mike Kalinowski is here.
Hey. What's going on, everybody?
Was that a hey?
I don't know what it was.
We got to out-hey each other. Now you got to do a hey. Yep. Hey.
Okay, I think I can. I'm going to wait for my intro, but then I'm going to
do it.
Sorry,
and of course, next to our resident lantern is the crown jewel of the DC movie universe.
Hey.
Miss Roxy Stryer.
She's Roxy Stryer. Yeah, Roxy Stryer.
And as I mentioned before, sitting in for Johnny LaQuasto is this guy, Ray Fisher.
No big deal. Never heard of him.
So you're an actor. You're in a movie coming out.
I think I heard of this.
An independent, a small indie. We're trying to get off the ground. Just in time for Oscar season.
Yeah.
Called Justice League.
Yes.
Is it French?
It is. It's whatever you need it to be. It's going to be that.
Okay.
Justice League. I'm super excited, man. I'm super excited for everybody to see it in.
I mean, you were cast. How long ago were you cast?
Yeah, I was cast back in 2014. So it's been about 3 years. This thing coming to fruition from casting through shooting through opening next week and theaters November 17th. So you better be there. it's been a process, but you know what? I've loved every day of it. It feels like you're waiting for your birthday or for Christmas every single day of the year for 3 years.
It's almost like you're born on like February 29th, and you have to wait like
four years for your next real birthday. So
because
we've
seen you at Comic Cons. We're always there. At Hall H, we see you.
Yeah,
and it's just like you're always there, and so and to see you and to not. And to know you're it's like I'm in this movie a little bit in BVS and we know, but you've been such an active part of it, you and Ezra together, and just your camaraderie with each other.
Man.
And now here it is.
It's here.
Here it is finally.
It's finally here. So thank you for waiting.
We were talking about this. Your life is going to change. It's changed already, but like when the public sees you, kids with your costume next Halloween being you, your life is going to change.
It's
like you're on the precipice of this, and we're here with you to see this. It's insane.
Well, thank you. I mean, honestly, I've seen some costumes already this year of Cyborg from our film. Little kids with the Apocalyptian tech. I was like, I didn't even know they had those. I was like, oh, I didn't expect that to come out until like next year. But you know, just seeing the smile on their face, it's like, oh yeah, it's Cyborg from the movie. Like that's something special, man. So that's a big shout out to the whole VFX team. Shout out to Zach and the crew for helping to bring this all to life, man.
Do you feel ready for this kind of attention and this kind of love? Because everybody else that's in this cast may have been doing films for longer, yeah. and now you're here, and of course you're very talented and coming from Broadway, but this is your big first, like, huge blowout film. Yeah. Do you feel ready for it?
I mean, I feel ready. I think I'm pretty good at keeping myself low-key and keeping myself pretty down to the earth, if that makes any sense. You know, this has been a crazy, crazy process, but, you know, as an actor, every job to me is sort of the same. Like, I try only to sign up to do things that I'm super passionate about, to only sign up to do things that I really, really love. And it just so happens to be that this is now the superhero scope of things, something that I love so deeply and something that just happens to be, you know, big in a lot of people's minds. You know, so I'm ready for this to be out and to share it with the world. The other stuff I'll sort of figure out as we go along.
I'm not too worried about it.
Can you tell me just a little bit, because, you know, there are a lot of us who watch, a lot of us have done acting and things like that. What is that moment like when you get that call, when it's official? I mean, I can only imagine. I know what Roxy, she would do a dance of some kind.
Yeah, probably like the robot.
I did a dance. I did a lot of swearing at Zack Snyder.
Positive swearing. Yeah.
Yes.
Can you tell us how did it happen?
So, what was it? After I did a play in New York playing Muhammad Ali in a piece called Fetch Clay, Make Man, I had gotten an agent and a manager and had taken a trip out here to L.A. for the first time. And that's when I met up with the D.C. Warner Brothers folks. And they said, well, you know what? We've got something that may be right for you, but we can't tell you what it is just yet. So when I get back to New York, they send me some dummy sides from, I think the movie was, and dummy sides, for people that don't know, it's just, they're sides that you read that aren't actually right. part of the movie.
Like, we had heard that Momoa had read for Batman.
Exactly.
And so, but at this point, when they said, we have something for you, you must be racking your brain.
I'm like,
you
what
must.
Can it be? It's gotta be, I'm like, is it John Stewart, Green Lantern? It could be Cyborg, it could be anything. It could be Black Lightning, like, I could be, you know, Chris.
Could be Robin.
It could be anything. And so, I'm just keeping myself open, and once you know, they gave me the sides. I think it was like We Are Marshall were the dummy sides, and I was like, huh, I was like, what comic book character is a football player? And I started like putting things together, and so I end up sending a tape in for Zach. You know, he gives me a couple notes, I send in another tape, and I end up going out to Detroit around the same time that they're shooting Batman Superman. And so this was around Easter, and he ends up, as I'm pulling up, it was like the perfect circumstance. As I'm pulling up to get out of the car for the testing, he just happens to be walking up with the casting directors and some of the crew to meet me at the building. And so we had this, like, this cool elevator ride up where we get to talk before, like, you know, we actually get down to it. And, you know, we're cracking jokes about Easter and all that. He's like, oh, we're going on an Easter egg hunt and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, well, there will be kids at this Easter egg hunt, right? And he's just like, oh, yeah, yeah, of course. It's not just like us getting together. So it was nice to sort of like bridge that gap, like get that tension out initially and just get a sense as to who he was as an individual. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they told me who the character was prior to stepping onto the scene. And I ended up, you know, going through all the New 52, reading like this iteration of Cyborg and seeing what he was all about.
Had you read any at all before?
Not the New 52, no. Wow. Growing
but
up,
previous?
Previous, I wasn't a huge comic book guy. My mom didn't really buy us comic books growing up, but I was big into the animated series, big into the movie scope of things. I'd seen everything in the TV and film scope since the beginning. So, you know, that's when I started racking my brain, sort of binging through all those comic books. And we get up, we do the test, which was more dummy sides from a play called Jesus Hop the A-Train. So, yeah, we do those dummy sides. And walking out of that test situation, you know, it was all hugs. It was just like, oh, thank you for the opportunity. Like, everything was just super chill. Like, the way he runs everything is sort of like a family. And so I end up getting out of there, and my agent and manager call me, and they're like, how'd it go? And they're like, did it work out? And I told them, I was like, you know what? There's this weird sense of calm. And like trying to explain that to agents and managers is like very strange. Like they're like, okay, it's one of those actor things. He's saying it feels calm. It feels this. But like, tell us like what were the actual things that happened? I was like, listen, this was probably the best setup I could have. That was probably the best I could have done. Everything seemed really chill. Even if I don't get the job, I'm glad I was just here. I'm glad I was able to meet these people.
As an actor, a tremendous meeting, right? I mean,
for sure,
like,
for sure.
Future projects, you never know where something could lead, right?
Yeah, huge. You just don't know. I mean, and that's one of those things, like, you want it really badly. You want it, run. You want it. But, like, at that point, I said, listen, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I'm just happy that, you know, I was able to sort of have this conversation with somebody who, A, is so cool, B, is such a big fan of what it is that I'm a fan of, and just knowing that, you know, there are other situations that may come out that are like this, this same sort of calm.
Right.
Because I can't, I'm making it up in my mind that he's not the only director that that's cool. That is that cool, rather. Yeah. So, you know, those other opportunities I knew would exist. But it was beautiful. And then I end up getting the call from Zach about a week and a half, 2 weeks later. Oh. And when I do, I'm expecting he's calling me to tell me, oh, well, listen, appreciate you coming out, but, you know, we're going to go in a different direction, you know, yada, yada, yada. And he picks up the phone. He's like, Ray. I'm like, Zach. He's like,
Now, do you have it in your phone as X Snyder, or is it just some random
number? No, this was from his assistant. Okay. So okay. It's one of those things. His assistant calls me. He's like, hey, I got Zach for you. And I'm just like, okay, here we go. And I remember I was reading another script at the time. I won't tell you what script it was, but I was reading another script while I got this phone call. And thinking, oh, well, I had a good time auditioning for Zach, but, you know, we got to keep looking just in case it doesn't work out. And he gives me the call. He's like, Ray. I go, Zach. He goes, well, looks like we'll be making a movie. And I go, I go, you're lying. You're blanking lying. Blank, blank, beep, beep. Censor, 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 censor. I'm literally rolling around on the floor in my apartment. And I tell him, I'm like, man, you don't even understand. I watch Batman Returns every Christmas. Like, you don't know how much this means to me. Now, mind you, I've been keeping it cool up until that point. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, Justice League. Sounds good. Sounds good. Oh, well, is Granny Goodness going to be in it? Like, what are we doing here? Like, you know.
He's getting his bona fides out.
That's the thing. I'm like, I know a lot about it from, you know, all the cartoons and everything that I've read. And he's like, oh, no Granny Goodness, none of that. But but he was like, listen, you know, we love the test. The studio loved it. And I told him, I was like, look, I will not let you down. You know, I'm going to give it my all. And it wasn't until I got to the point where I started dedicating myself singularly to projects that I care about that I ever felt like I had any sort of success in this business. Win, lose, or draw, like, I feel like personally I've already won, you know, so being able to work with those people is
Can you tell
amazing.
Me what has been some of, like, the interaction with fans like? Because it must be extra hard when there's no actual proof or work for them to judge, and everybody's got opinions. I don't know if you've seen this thing, the internet, but it can be like the wild west out there.
What is that?
So, like, positive, negative. What have been some of your interesting fan interactions?
I mean, the thing is, I get that Cyborg is not an initial member of the Justice League, which seems to be, you know, a huge complaint from
it's not Titans. It's not Titans.
And that's the thing. It's like, for me, because of where he is now technologically and where we are now technologically, like, Cyborg is a much more relevant character than he ever has been before. Like, we're so dependent on technology. He could rule the world from the shadows if he wanted to, and take anything over.
In Jim Lee's New 52, the JL Origin series, he's a founding member. So it's just what iteration people are basing that on. But he is a huge member.
Also, I feel like he just brings something completely different to the team that no other member brings. What do you feel like Cyborg brings to the team that made them want to bring him into Justice League?
Well, I mean, outside of the intellect, I mean, in this iteration, he's born of the Mother Box technology, which, you know, is a big proponent of the issue in Justice League, dealing with the New Gods, dealing with Steppenwolf, and some other baddies that may pop up at some point in time. I think he brings a certain level of intellect, a certain level of knowledge about the enemy, about the threat, and the fact that he can basically transmogrify his body into any sort of weaponry that we need to take down any sort of threat. I think it makes him pretty cool. There's really nothing. Unfortunately, it's like there's nothing that he can't do. So you end up the trap that you end up falling into is trying to figure out why he won't win certain battles. You know what I mean? And that to me is, like, pretty exciting. It's like we have to depower him slightly.
There was no internet when Wolfman, you know, started the character in 1980.
Yeah. He was just a guy who could, like, jump high and had some super strength.
He's like RoboCop.
Yeah, just a little bit like
so
that.
So what is his RoboCop kryptonite then?
His kryptonite? I think it's honestly, I think his kryptonite comes from inside. I think it's the idea. It's more an idea than an actual physical threat. But it's the same way with the same thing with Wonder Woman. Like, she has no, like, discernible specific weakness. But Bruce Wayne, you know, he's already got a way to take down most people. So I'm sure Bruce Wayne has some stuff he's cooking up, some anti-apocalyptic technology of some kind.
The Sizzler Kistler is in the chat roll talking about the mother boxes. Good to see you, Alan. We actually got to see the movie yesterday.
Did you?
Yes, we don't have to
just praise it because I'm here, but you should praise
it
because I'm
here.
We're not allowed to talk about it.
You're not
allowed to talk about it.
Killing us.
The smile says it all. We're not allowed to speak.
Smile big if it's good.
But
that's the thing. The three of us on this panel, we have, of all different movies, we always have varying different feelings.
Oh, we get heated. And we get heated.
They know about the two of us coming terms on movies.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that we're all smiling right now.
we all walked out with very similar
feelings.
I know everybody who's watching this now is going to see this as soon as possible. According to the chat roll, many of them are going to see it 17 times in 2D, 3D, IMAX. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about where we find Cyborg sort of at the beginning of the film? Like, not geographically, but like, what state is he in? Like, we saw a little bit of him in BVS.
Yeah.
So, you know, without giving anything away, what can you say about where we find him?
Well, we find him in a place where he's basically kept himself secluded from society. You know, where we pick off from BVS is a Cyborg who is completely rebuilt, and he's basically sequestered himself for fear of the way he looks. And also, you know, he's lost a tremendous amount. He's lost his mother, he's lost his body, and he's been rebuilt by his father, who he has a very strained relationship with. So it's just like this gumbo of him sort of needing to rebuild himself in that way. And I think what ends up happening is he finds within the Justice League, he finds little bits of himself, little bits of who he once was that he's able to latch on to in order to rebuild himself. And for him, it's going to be a process that's not just going to be over the course of this film, but over the course of future films as well.
No. So,
yeah.
You mentioned losing his body, and one of the things that we asked for was our fans to tweet out questions. And this is a question coming from @KyleFarAway, who said, I heard Ray talking somewhere about how he, Zach, and Chris Terrio wanted #Cyborg to represent people with physical disabilities. As someone with one, I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah. Well, the idea that Cyborg, it's not for him specifically. While he does represent the African-American community in a big way, he represents people of color in a big way, I think he equally represents people who are differently abled. And just in making sure that we pay respect to what those things are, you know, you don't want to make jokes about cyborgs like limbs or anything of that nature in a way that's going to be offensive to other people. I think, you know, just me getting emails and people finding me on Instagram and sending me messages saying, hey, listen, you know, Cyborg is a big deal to me because I've lost a leg, I've lost an arm, you know, I have an implant. It's real, you know, it's very real because it's not about black or white, you know, it's about being human. That's something that Tupac said. You know, it ain't about being black or white because we're human. And I think that's a much bigger ideal than the surface level ideas we have about one another that we get. And Chris Terrio, who's my muse, who is just like phenomenal. If you ever get a chance to sit in a room with him and just talk ideas about philosophy, where we are, I mean, I know he's definitely.
We'll have him in next week.
You need to have him in next week. He's working on Star Wars now, man. You
is he really?
Oh yeah.
Which one?
He's working on Star Wars with Abrams on
that's right. I did hear that. Yeah, yes, man. Yes.
He'd like to come by and hang out.
Listen,
sure,
I'll ask him. I'll see what he says.
Bring the two of you guys in.
Come on in. We'll talk philosophy. We'll talk BVS philosophy. Justice League philosophy. We'll talk it all. But that's the thing. It's like paying homage to what that is and dealing with that in a respectful way, as particularly because it is such a huge thing. It's like, what makes you you? Is it your body? Is it your mind? What is it? How do we get to the root of what humanity is? And, you know, we start delving into some questions that we don't fully answer in this one, but hopefully we'll be able to open that up for future conversations.
Open it up in possibly a Cyborg standalone kind of film?
Your lips, for sure. Yeah. From your lips. I think, you know, everything is in development right now. And I think, you know, this is going to be a very telling as to where the future of the DC Universe goes next week, come November 17th. So you better be there. You better be there. You better be there.
Because Cyborg has always been that kind of bridge between the Titans and the Justice League, that the elder group and the young ones. And he's kind of that bridge. So you could kind of, seeing what happens, go either way. And
honestly, depending on how far and how long this goes, anything's possible.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. I think, I mean, I'm not really trying to predict where it all is going to go right now, because there are, you know, a lot of people making a lot of decisions that, you know, I'm not necessarily kept in the loop about just for security's sake. But no, I'm excited to see how fans respond to it and where it all goes as a result of that.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting to know, because I don't know, we're called DC Movie News, but we could also be called DC Movie Rumors.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you see how much is out there.
We got a ton of rumors.
So it's interesting to know that even someone who is in Justice League is also like, he's like, they're doing that movie, they're doing this movie. And it's, so it's like, it's not like someone tells you like, hey, we're thinking about doing a Joker spinoff. What do you think about that, Ray?
No, I mean, no, I don't get any of that information. A lot of it I learn at the same time as everybody else. Like, a lot of the trailers and things I end up seeing at the same time time the fans do, so I get to be that same level of excitement when it's just like,
you know,
so
cool.
See Batman in that scene.
See, it's so interesting because a lot of times people feel like it's cast members or the director that releases these trailers that either reveal too much, and we've said that before, and tried to hear someone like you that's been a part of the process. You guys don't have control over that.
No.
And we have to say that they've done so well up to this point with this movie of keeping... you know, the Superman, you know, where he is, and
well, he's dead, so yeah, there's nowhere so just, else to put him. He's not in this movie at all.
The marketing for this film has been so well done.
Yeah, well, thank you by way of Warner's marketing. I'll accept those adulations on that behalf.
For all of our fans.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one really great thing that they did about marketing this film is, like, there's always that thing of, like, how much can you show, how much can you not show, and... I mean, again, we don't want to give anything away, but we were just happy to be surprised by things.
Yeah.
At this day in the game, like, there have been some recent movies that I have loved, but I've just thought, like, man, if I didn't know that or if I hadn't seen that, I would have loved it more. Even if I knew the visual confirmation,
makes
it worse. So, like, they've had some pretty big cojones on them with some of the things that they've kept back.
Listen, and it's good, and there's many more secrets to be revealed.
Oh, that hurts.
Wow.
Many, many more.
So you said you don't know exactly what the future is, but I like this question from @MattLight19. He wants to know, how do you envision the Cyborg movie, and what journey do you want to see Victor take? Is there anything that you've been hoping, or you read in a comic, or you saw on Titans that you're like, oh, I hope I get to play with that a
little
bit?
You know what? I mean, I'm a big fan of this kind of story. I'd love to see it be a little bit more intimate, a little bit more specific to Cyborg. There is a sort of Cyborg special that they had done years ago where he fights a group called Phantom Limbs, which is this mercenary group of cybernetically enhanced individuals who are very much like him. I think seeing him take on people who have the same similar abilities, but a much more finely tuned group of warriors, and seeing how that all would turn out, I think would be really special. I think it'd be something to see. And you also get to delve really deeply into, like, the idea of humanity, what it all means. I would love to see that. So if you get a chance, go back and take a look. It's very brief, but I feel like it could be something that could be expanded in a big way.
I was actually surprised at how Cyborg's character was dealt with. I was telling you before the show, because when you start off, he's not the Cyborg from Teen Titans or Titans Go, the boisterous. He's in kind of a dark place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we really, you'd give a really subtle performance, and it's sort of unexpected, and it's only because we're backed by, like, Wonder Woman and Batman and all these things that we can sort of, like, lean on, that it never becomes like a dirge, it never becomes like a bummer in any way.
For sure.
But it is definitely, like, he has a place to go. Like, there is...
Absolutely, and that's part of the method is, you know, figuring out where this character is going to go, trying to map it out for the long run, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't want to burn out all your material, you don't want this person to go from being, you know, freshly turned into Cyborg to having all his problems solved at the end of movie number one, because then you don't have anywhere to go. You know, it quickly becomes sitcom, and that's not something that I, as an actor, and I know Zach and Chris Terrio as the creators and the sort of spearheads of the situation weren't looking to go with the character either. It's one of those things. You know, I watched the Teen Titans cartoon show growing up as a kid, but that iteration is so specific and very much outside of what even the comic iteration of Cyborg is.
Absolutely.
While it is popular, you know, it is something, you know, you can take bits and pieces of it, but I don't think it would match the tone of what it is we're trying to do. I appreciate you saying so, and hopefully the character will continue to grow, and hopefully people will be able to feel the same thing you did with respect to that.
Did you look at other, like, Cyborg, like, I mean, you know, films, books? I'm talking about, like, your Blade Runners, your Terminators, your RoboCops, like, things, movies that have dealt with this kind of idea of blending organic and mechanic, you know, tissue, and then, like, you know, what that implies.
Well, I think trying to draw from film for inspiration for building character is a little tricky, because Cyborg is in a much different situation than, like, RoboCop is, you know, in that, you know, RoboCop is a man who is basically reconstructed, loses his memory, and has to sort of rebuilds that, where Cyborg remembers everything that's ever happened to him.
Right.
It's a much different sort of circumstance. And so when building this, you know, I'm trying to build from my place, because the character has to come from the actor, and, you know, through and through. There's nothing I can really create that I can't, that doesn't come from me as an individual. I think a lot of it was digging into what the story that Chris and Zach and getting to the heart of everything was, because the minute that we start playing Cyborg as if he is completely robot or trying to mimic what somebody else has done in a film, I think we end up falling into that trap of it being compared to those other films as well. And a lot of them are phenomenal films, and you don't want to be sort of be seen as like being a copycat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Cyborg eat?
Cyborg doesn't eat.
Sleep.
He doesn't sleep. He doesn't have to breathe if he didn't want to. You know, he could survive in just about any terrain he would want, and be good. So I mean, there are also places that he could go in future films. He can go to outer space. Maybe he can go to Atlantis. Maybe he can go anywhere.
Is it fair to say, Ray, that if he were to eat, that he would probably use one of the number one recipe delivery services like Blue Apron?
Yes,
which is
I would think so. Committed to making home cooking accessible to everyone. Because, you know, Blue Apron, for providing food for the people that do eat food, the non-cyborgs. This is a very smooth segue, by the way. I just want to... They have partnerships with over 150 farms. The seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. The beef, chicken, pork come from responsibly raised animals. And as we all know, and we've discussed many, many times, cooking together builds strong family bonds. Yesterday, after we saw Justice League, we all went out and we shared a meal together.
Yes, did you also cook that meal that you shared?
Well, kind of.
Kind of.
We were at Doghouse, who I make the sausages for.
Okay.
And also, even though Cyborg cannot eat, I'm sure he can cook and probably has some nifty stuff to do it with.
Oh, so, yeah. He's got taste buds for sure. He's still got a tongue.
He's good to go. Pop up the recipe right in front of you. Your eye pops
absolutely.
Some of the upcoming, if you go and you order some Blue Apron, upcoming meals include crispy wild Alaskan pollock with garlic mashed potatoes, cheesy broccoli baked pasta with crispy thyme breadcrumbs. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Seared steaks with garlic butter and roast chicken and fall vegetables with cranberry and ginger compote, because we are heading into the best time of year for cooking and eating. This
Absolutely.
Is the time when the braising and the stewing is happening. Ooh, it's a little chilly outside. The house is smelling good. The spice, the cloves. Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday. Mm-hmm. Where are you from? You're from Jersey?
I'm from New Jersey, yeah.
I'm from Long Island, actually.
Are you really? Okay.
So, yeah, yeah. What part of New Jersey?
South Jersey. It's close to Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
a place
yeah.
called Lawnside.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to have a restaurant in Philly called The Smoked Joint, a barbecue experience. Lived
really?
In Center City, yeah.
Look at that, all right.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
So guys, check out this week's menu. Get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/movienews. You will love how good it feels and tastes. That's blueapron.com/movienews. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Even for you, Cyborg.
Booyah!
Booyah, exactly. So going back for a second, because you've mentioned Zach a couple of times, and a lot of our fans were tweeting this in, one specifically from @MG said, legit question, have you heard from Zach and how's he doing?
I have heard from Zach, and he seems to be doing well. You know, obviously the circumstances of him having to leave our production were horrendous. And, you know, it was a big blow to all of us. But, you know, I think he's doing well. Yeah.
What was that like on set? Was everybody just coming together and feeling for him, or how was that?
Well, getting the phone call was hard. I mean, I definitely went into a funk myself, for sure. And, you know, the internet is a very specific place, as I'm sure we're all aware.
Yes,
I actually
yes,
had
is.
To pull myself off of social media for a little bit, because even despite the terrible situation that he was going through, there was still a lot of negativity and just vicious stuff out there in the world.
It can be ugly sometimes. It can be ugly online. You got to unplug sometimes.
For sure. And so once, you know, we got to set, it was sort of like, you know, it's the idea that you have to pull it together for Zach and for Debbie and for the family, because they put their blood, their life, their sweat, their tears into the process. So now I'm back on social media, obviously, you know,
promote
the positive message. So I had to take the Borg Life mantra and apply it to myself, practice what I preach.
Yeah.
And now we're back out there trying to promote a positive message.
And it's been good to see that Zach has been putting behind the scenes photos out there. We just saw one with
just
you
one
that
was
amazing.
In the gray suit, leaning over, look like parademon or supposed parademon. Your dad was there in the.
Zach in that shot, because he gets into it with everybody, man.
And
he's directing you. I mean, he's in there just like a big kid, just like, okay, now you're going to come over here and you're going to go, pew, shoot in here. And you're going to come over this way and then you're going to go turn around and blast him, pew. You know,
they released those behind the scenes of all you guys on set. And it just looked like you guys were having so much fun.
It was literally, it was probably probably one of the best experiences I've ever had. You know, I'm not married. I don't have kids. You know, I've accomplished now with this, I've accomplished a huge life goal. And after this, I told him, I was like, listen, I could retire from film and feel fulfilled with respect to this. It was amazing.
Anthony, we have a question from our other co-host who's not with us today, Johnny LaQuasto. Can we bring that up at your leisure? Johnny had a specific sort of question he really wanted to ask you.
Okay.
And I'm very curious about this too. Now, it is
He's a personal trainer and he does a lot in the fitness industry. Yeah.
Yes.
So he admires your physique on this show, many shows.
Well, he's got a 76ers hat on as well, so that's okay.
Perfect. That's thanks, Anthony. Just
hey,
watching
gang, I hope the show is going amazing so far. Mr. Ray Fisher, it's an honor to have you on the show. We cannot be more excited for Justice League. We are all in. I wish I could be there. I had to fly out last minute. Now I'm stuck in 30-degree weather. But on to my question. How long was your diet and training regimen leading up to Justice League? And could you give us a glimpse as to what your daily diet routine was like and maybe one of the most insane workouts you had to go through? Because my goal is to try that diet and try some of those workouts, and so maybe one day you and I could compare biceps.
You know, you almost got away with it not being creepy, Johnny. You're so close.
The 76ers hat makes up for it. That's our team down in South Jersey.
You are lucky.
So now you'll compare biceps with him?
Nah, if he wants. I mean, right now I'm on the smaller end of where I was when we were shooting the film.
Spoiler alert, you still win.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Johnny.
So I was about 193 pounds before we began the process. And up until
you're a tall guy. You're like 6'4"?
About 6'3".
Okay.
Yeah. And it was a lot of cardio leading up to that point. Like I'd weight trained before to play Muhammad Ali in that play Fetch Clay Make Man. And, you know, since then I was just all cardio. And what I figured was, I've seen Zach's movies. I've seen what they do there after this, and how they bulk them up. I was like, listen, I can wait because when I get there, I know they're going to put me through the ringer. And they definitely did. It was pretty intense. We got in. We took a day. They told me what it is that we were going to be working toward, and that's getting Victor Stone into that college football player physique. Mm-hmm. And I ended up being in the gym 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, for just about the duration of the shooting process. And the meals were pretty incredible. It was something like 3,000 calories of just like really, really good food. And, you know, everything from quinoa, steak, fish, chicken, but like massive amounts of it.
Okay.
So it was three meals, three big meals, two small meals. And it got to the point where eating felt like a chore.
Yeah.
You know, toward the end of the production, I was like, can I just get sandwiches? Can you guys, like, whatever calories I need, can you just put it in sandwich form? And I want to, like, I just want to have it handy so I don't have to worry about, like sitting down
IV
at the table.
IV form, maybe, just like, put it into you.
Absolutely. But
I forgot what it was. It was a picture of Momoa, Cavill, Gal, and you,
yeah,
all trying to one up each other, and you're just hunched over. Your abs had abs in that one picture. It was just insane.
That
how
was
you guys
Mark,
were nuts.
Mark Twight and Stu Walton, man, they got us in probably the best shape that I ever was in my life. I was 30 pounds heavier by the time we were finished.
That's
and, but,
crazy.
But to answer the question, the most intense workout was probably the quickest workout we've ever had. So there was a day where Mark, he's really good on like team building stuff, right? So there was a day Mark Twight had me and Ezra Miller, who plays the Flash in the movie, do a workout together, right? Because usually you end up working on different things. Ezra's working on flexibility, mobility, that kind of thing. I'm working on just trying to get as big as I can. My mom was working on like slimming down and getting ripped. Like it's just they're just different goals. So there was
he's got a gut in the film, Momoa. No. He's like, yeah.
That's all right. I mean, if he was here, he'd be like, he might pop through that door right now and say,
oh, please go.
Take it back. Take it back.
Kick the door with
you
the beer
in one hand.
Say
his name three times, it'll appear like Candyman. I swear to you. So there was one day where they have this machine called a ski erg, right? And it's basically like a rowing machine, except it's for skiing, and you pull these ropes down. Right?
I use that.
You use a ski erg?
Yeah. It's
intense,
like full
right?
sprinting the whole time
it's
as
intense.
You're pulling.
It's intense.
Screw that.
So,
it's hard.
And there was also what we had kettlebells, and they do this one thing. It's called a kettlebell hold, where you take two and you hold them like this. So he had us paired off, right? And it's me and Ezra. One of us starts on the ski erg, pulling the skis. The other person is holding the kettlebells. Now, the person holding the kettlebells has to hold the kettlebells for as long as it takes the person on the ski erg to finish their skis.
Uh-huh.
And then you switch immediately. So as the person skiing, you want to hurry up and get it done so the person holding the kettlebells isn't suffering. But if you exhaust yourself, by the time you get the kettlebells, you're so exhausted from skiing that this becomes almost impossible to do. So it got to the point, me and Ezra were just like trying to have each other's backs. And like we get to the point, we walk out of the gym after, and it's only a 6-minute workout. mind you. It's a 6-minute workout, and we're exhausted, on the verge of throwing up. Like, probably the most intense workout I've ever had. But it's that idea that, you know, I've got your back, you've got mine. We've been bonded like this ever since.
And it shows, because when you guys come out on the panels at Comic-Con, you and Ezra just have this, like, you're brothers.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen the movie yet, so we don't know, but it just, it has, you know, at the time I said at Comic-Con we haven't seen the movie, so it's like, it translates to the screen, and it's just, it's so wonderful that that training, aside from not even the acting work you did, the physicality of it.
And I mean, you're going to be spending a lot of time with people, too.
Ivan Soto desperately wants to know. He's asked a million times, so I'll ask this. You can answer quick. Did you see Cyborg's previous live-action iteration on Smallville?
I have not. No, I've seen pictures of it, but I have not seen the live-action version.
Okay, you're happy, Ivan? He's a dedicated listener.
He's a great listener. All good,
He's a great listener.
That's great. He literally asked it 15 times.
Somebody else wanted to know. This was a good question. Can Cyborg swim?
Can Cyborg swim? Yeah, absolutely. He could fly just in water.
I don't know. I saw Momoa did an interview where he said you would rust.
I mean, he could rust.
He threw shade on you.
It's like that movie Signs. It's like, if I can't withstand some sort of hydration, what kind of apocalyptic tech is this?
I know.
You need some WD-40? What's happening?
He's stainless steel, the pants I use with Blue Apron.
There's a mother box in Atlantis.
That's what I mean. Now, the thing is, I mean, he can't fly through water as fast as Aquaman can swim. Aquaman is the fastest in water. Obviously, Superman's fastest in the sky. Flash is the fastest on Earth. Like,
people are going to go nuts when they see how Atlantis, we get a little tease of Atlanteans and underwater for the first time, and it's amazing.
It is mind-blowing. And when they first got those shots in, and Zach's watching them on the sort of playback, and I'm looking over his shoulder, I'm just like, what is that? He's like, yeah, they're getting things amped up. You can see, like, the particles flying through the water as, like, Aquaman's swimming. Like, it's just, it's so much detail. So you got to make sure you watch this in, like, on a big screen somewhere, as big and as bright and as powerful as you can.
T-Way wants to know if Cyborg sweats.
If Cyborg sweats,
that could cause rust also.
It could, yeah. I mean, I like to think the apocalyptic technology regulates his body functions. Like, if he's, like, super scared, he can release some, like, dopamine to, like, mellow him out or whatever that is, or some serotonin. I'm not sure. I mean, I would assume that the human side of him sweats. And that's one of those things that people are like, how's Cyborg? How's he always have such a crisp haircut on that one side? Is it just, like, cutting one side of his hair? And it's like, yeah, he's got laser fingers. He can just, like, keep
it together. He's got razors in there. He's got many attachments.
There's an answer for everything.
Yeah.
Is Ezra the one you worked with most, or who did you work with most?
You know, it's actually a balance of the characters. I mean, we have a lot of team-up scenes. We've got some scenes with me and Wonder Woman. We've got some scenes with me and Ezra. There's a lot of time Cyborg spends with his father and also alone in the movie. So number of hours, I don't think I've calculated completely, but he spends quite a bit of time with Ezra, for sure.
How many times have you seen the movie now?
I've seen it once. Okay. And honestly, I think people are going to really, really respond to it. I really do. I think there's something in it for everyone in a really big way. The tone of it, I think, has shifted in a way that it complements all of these different personalities coming into one film. So I'm excited for people to see it.
How do you do the Borg life thing?
Borg life?
Yeah.
Teach
it. Here we go. Okay, so what you want to do? You can't just Borg life from cold hands. You got to check it out for a second. So on your right hand, you're going to put your hand up like everything's A-okay.
Right?
A-okay. Make sure those fingers are flat there. Up on the board. There you go.
Okay.
And on your left hand, you want to face your palm towards you and put these three fingers down. And you just put the B on the L. Okay? No. You had it right. Just keep it like that.
Oh, that's
Don't twist. Put it up top. There you go. And now you've got Borg life.
Who does have a quick little game of Would You Rather?
Yes!
Would You Rather?
Yeah, let's get it.
With Ray Fisher, who plays Victor Stone, a.k.a. Cyborg, in the Warner Brothers Pictures release, Justice League. Check it out. It's opening.
I know tonight,
yeah, there's going to be people who are going to those 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock shows next Thursday, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. I don't know when it's opening in Tokyo, but...
And all over the rest of the
world. All over the world, you're going to have the opportunity. So, some Would You Rather.
And you're going to want to go.
I would think so, yes.
Not saying anything.
The social media
embargo.
Tomorrow, moved up.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is a good. That same thing happened with Wonder Woman.
But guys, try to keep yourselves pure if you can. Don't be like Roxy. Don't be a spoiler. Just like,
I love spoilers.
Shut it down.
I don't give them though.
I talked to my best friend today, and I said, buddy, he's gone black in the movie, dark. I was like, don't read anything. Go in.
Just go, in and enjoy yourself.
Go in dark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's better. It's better.
I already forgot how to do this. You're going to have to teach me again.
Everything's okay.
All right.
No, but flatten it because it's the B.
You gotta there you go.
B there
that
you
way.
Go.
And then flatten this one here. Goes down. And just put, well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. I remembered. All right, for Would You Rather.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Yeah. Okay, right. Would You Rather.
Would you rather grab a beer with Aquaman or Flash?
Can I have both? Can I have both?
You
I mean,
can have whatever you want.
I would say Aquaman. I would say Aquaman. Jason is like our go-to.
Every time he's drinking, he's got like a giant axe or sword, and he's throwing at stuff, and he's got to be a fun time.
He hasn't managed to hurt anyone just yet with that.
Both those guys seem to be able to metabolize alcohol extremely well.
Well, Ezra, because he actually has the Speed Force, and he's method acting, he's actually found a way to actually put the Speed Force inside of his own body. And
wow,
Jason, because
him.
He's he's Aquaman. What's he going
to
do?
It's a really cool thing to do with his method acting. Yeah. All right. Would you rather spend an hour in the Batcave or the Fortress of Solitude?
Batcave. Batcave.
Oh, right away. No one even thought on that one.
Yeah, Batcave. All right. For sure.
How come?
Because even though Superman's got a lot of cool stuff that nobody's seen, I feel like Batman could, he probably has like a camera inside the Fortress of Solitude because he's Batman. So I could just watch it remotely. I could watch it remotely anyway.
Best of both worlds.
Absolutely. You're going to get bored after a while, that Fortress of Solitude. I mean, it is a Fortress of Solitude.
And it is in the Arctic. How am I supposed to get back?
All right, I've got one. Would you rather attend an anti-climate change rally with Poison Ivy or Swamp Thing?
Poison Ivy, man, for sure.
Oh!
Poison Ivy. We show up on the red carpet together.
He's a Swamp Thing guy.
He's so sad. Just saying.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Swamp Thing. He doesn't look like he smells too good. You know what I mean?
Not. I feel like Cyborg. I know people want to see like Cyborg in a Flash film, but I really think you shouldn't overlook the Swamp Thing Cyborg. Like they're like, it's like twins.
Do not even
like
acknowledge
the antithesis of one
another. Don't even.
I think let's talk to DC. We'll see what we can do.
Swamp Borg, the movie.
Swamp Borg.
You don't know what you just got yourself into. Emails every day from this one. Now, remember that time?
All right. Would you rather play poker with Lex Luthor or play basketball with the Joker?
Ooh, I'd probably go poker with Lex Luthor.
Okay.
I feel like the Joker might, like, if I end up winning, he may just, like, pull a knife or some laughing gas and just take me.
Smarter than fair move. Yeah.
Would you rather go with Wonder Woman to Themyscira for a year or with Superman to Krypton for a weekend?
Themyscira, Krypton's gone. I'm not trying to go there.
It's a weekend? You're going to go to space?
I'm just sitting out there and looking at a bunch of rubble.
Okay, well, I think in this scenario, Krypton was around, but that's a good point. I mean, for the purposes of this Would You Rather scenario, Krypton, we're going back like 100 years.
Would you rather be with Jor-El on Krypton?
Still Themyscira. Still Themyscira.
Good man.
Hands down.
Good man.
I think you'd do very well there.
It does look like a fun vacation spot. Listen, who wouldn't want to go there?
Would you rather team up with Harley Quinn or Catwoman for an epic adventure?
Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting, interesting.
Yeah, she seems like a good time. She seems like she'd just keep the party going. You know? Selena Kyle, she seems like she'd be like, okay, everything's mellow, it's all good. Like, yeah.
Okay.
You pick the more fun ones always. I like it.
Tim Fag Monroe says, would you rather have a cybernetic legs or cybernetic arms?
It depends on what they could do. I'd probably take the cybernetic legs because I'd be able to fly at that point, right? You can transform them and fly around. The arms, it's cool because you can make like cannons and things. I guess you can fly with the arms too, right?
Well, if you went real fast. Well,
I always thought it was kind of weird, like Steve Austin had those two cybernetic legs and he could run really fast, but only one arm. And I was like, why not just lop the other one off at that point?
Well, I mean, you want to try to stay as human as possible,
I guess.
Right?
I can see that is definitely a part of it. Thank you for playing Would You Rather.
Thanks for playing.
Now, Cyborg, you are, I think it was in one of the promos that came out, I call it Technopath.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably have the ability, you have an internal clock. Unfortunately, us mere mortals, we have to rely on watches. And unfortunately, we are paired with a very great company called Movement. They are, it's called MVMT, but it's pronounced Movement. It's a watch company started by a couple guys in college that loved watches.
Mm-hmm.
And they just hated paying expensive price for them. So they kind of created, they got with these, a company to create these fashionable high-end watches for a reasonable price. And they've worked with us for, it's been a while now.
Very niche social club they have. Like, these guys weren't frat guys. They were just, like, watch guys.
They were like, that was their thing. And guys were like, we just want to talk about watches, me and you. And they found this love of watches. So we've worked them for a while now. We've received them, and I've got my friends buying them. It's the time of year for holidays. People might be looking for gifts, so now it's a great time. But they also branched out into sunglasses.
Oh my God, I love
and their
my
sunglasses
movement
are
sunglasses.
Phenomenal. Yeah. They look great.
They're dope.
But they paired with us. They're inexpensive. They start at $95, which on stores could go for $400, $500. It's all online. Great prices. Over, and we just found this out, over 1 million watches they've sold since they've started the company. Over a million, which is fantastic.
That's awesome.
But guys, for you guys, big fans of the, our show, you get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns. Just go to mvmt.com/DC movie. We'll tweet that link up. I'll put up my Twitter for you guys. It's a great company with a couple great guys. And now they're really out there. But
it's Cyborg, good products.
Yeah,
too.
Great products. Cyborg's got his own watch and stuff. We don't. So,
yeah,
he
so we
can
need
change his watch every day to make
yeah,
it a different kind
it,
of timepiece, too.
Yeah.
We're going to let you go in just a moment. I did want to bring up some DC movie news that we had. There was a little bit of actual news that broke this week. Now, I know you've been on such a crazy tour.
It's been a little crazy. Been
so
a little busy.
You're probably not
head
checking
down.
In on what's going on like in the rumor mill.
Yeah.
So this is actually kind of news to you, too. So the Shazam movie, are you familiar with this character?
I am familiar.
Captain Marvel Shazam.
I've heard of him at some point.
The big red cheese, as someone said. So we had talked about that we had finally cast, Zachary Levi was cast as Shazam.
I heard about that, yeah.
So you could potentially be interacting with him at some point
possibly.
In the future.
Do they like reach out to you? Do you guys all have a Facebook group or a club when you're all cast?
Well,
that
I get final approval over everybody's casting
oh,
in the DC Universe.
Fair enough.
They say, hey, Ray, we're thinking about getting this person, that person. I go, okay.
So do you sit there, because it almost seems like every day stuff does come up, but it, like, you know, there's certain names that are out there. Do you think like, wow, because The Rock is attached to a character, like, I might be working with The Rock one day. It's
possible,
like,
yeah.
It's got to be a great feeling for you.
I mean, it's nice. You know, I wish that movie, like, the absolute best. I know they've been working on it for quite some time now.
Yeah.
I'm excited to work with everybody, not just the actors, but the characters themselves.
Well,
and seeing
where
the characters
go. Like,
yeah.
Shazam. I'm going to see Shazam.
Yeah, all these characters.
So last week we heard Shazam, and this week we actually got Billy Batson.
Yeah,
so
that I did not hear until just
okay,
now.
Okay, so that
yeah.
kid's
breaking,
name,
breaking news for you.
Absolutely.
His name is Asher Angel, which is also an alliterative name. And is that wrong for someone to have an alliterative name in real life and then Billy Batson as well? Is that legal? That's very
maybe,
bizarre to
maybe
me.
That's why they cast him.
I think
maybe.
It's kosher. I think we're okay on that one, Adam.
What would you say to that kid, like, knowing that he just got cast like that? Like, would you give him any advice or
absolutely.
Anything like that?
Have fun. Have as much fun as you possibly can. Enjoy every minute
see,
of it.
When I see stuff like this happening and I see that character and I see you here, I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, well, Flashpoint. Cyborg and Billy Batson, they were that whole series together. So I'm just like, the possibilities for a DC fan right now, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that was just a confirmation that Flashpoint is happening with Cyborg and Billy Batson. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that Mike just confirmed that? Yeah,
Mike just confirmed that. Also, Dwayne The Rock Johnson confirms that his movie, Black Adam, actually has a writer also named Adam. What's going on? That's very weird. Adam.
Is it you?
Sistikal, or is Siskiel. I don't know how to pronounce it. There's a lot of consonants up in the front of that.
Nailed
but we
it.
Had actually talked about that rumor last week.
Yeah.
There were also rumors that the Black Adam was going to be introduced in Suicide Squad 2. So this doesn't mean that that's not going to happen, although some people have refuted that from The Rock's camp. I guess the question is, like, do you think it would be cool to introduce Black Adam in a Suicide Squad movie?
You know, that'd be interesting. I mean, what if he were, like, the bad guy in Suicide Squad 2? What if he was the guy that they had to take down? I think that'd be interesting. I mean, I haven't heard anything about any of what you're talking about outside of Zachary being cast. So, I mean, anything's possible, I guess.
You're killing it so far.
So that part is a rumor, but the Black Adam movie does look like it's going to be written by Adam with the many consonants in his name. Another thing that came up this week, and I wanted to ask your opinion about this too, Ray, was
sure thing. I got a lot of opinions.
J.K. Simmons, are you familiar with this actor?
Yes, I think I've heard of him.
What was it like working with J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Simmons was awesome. He and I actually have a mutual theater buddy that we've done shows with. J.K. Simmons did A Few Good Men years ago on Broadway.
Sure.
He and I have a good buddy, Conan McCarty, who I did To Kill a Mockingbird with at the Shakespeare Theater in New Jersey a few years ago. So when we're shooting out in London, Conan comes out, and we end up bridging that gap, and, you know, end up meeting J.K., and we just chat theater. You know, he's a theater guy for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. And, well, anyway, it turns out that he didn't know who Zack Snyder was until his agent told him and he had that meeting.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, does that surprise you? And is it encouraging to see that people can be so successful and working so much, but don't have to be all up in the life of the thing all the time?
I mean, it is encouraging. I feel like you don't want your whole life to get swept up by it. I mean, there's still a lot of people who I have to go, who's that again? This name's getting mixed up with that name. Did they produce it? Did they direct it? I mean, people wear so many different hats. But obviously, like, the character of Jim Gordon, I feel like that surpasses anybody, any creative who would ever touch the character, right? Mm. I mean, he may not have heard of Zack Snyder at the time, but I'm sure he knew who Jim Gordon was from the side of things. So, no, it doesn't surprise me. It's actually kind of refreshing that you could live a normal life and not be completely wrapped up in the movie of it all.
And then finally, just a real quick comment. Brian Michael Bendis, are you familiar with this guy?
Maybe.
So he is. He's been a big writer of Marvel comics for the past 20 years, and he just signed over.
He's been a massive Marvel.
Massive. So a lot of
he
would say
like Jeff Johns for Marvel in terms of comics.
His writing, he's like the David Mamet of
Marvel
comics. Okay. Yeah. Or Aaron Sorkin. His writing style is that.
Gotcha.
He brought a lot of the irreverence and what I would say is a lot of the tone that they use in a lot of those Marvel movies. He also created Jessica Jones. He is now signed to DC, full-time contract.
Yeah,
and Jeff Johns commented on it. So this is a big deal to have like another great creative mind writing the comics, potentially the source material for films that you could realize.
The words.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him personally. I don't think I know his work as specifically as you guys do. But hey, listen, if you're good, come on down.
Writing the DC characters is going to be phenomenal.
Okay,
it's going to be awesome.
I look forward to seeing it, man.
Listen, man, we can't thank you enough for doing this.
It's my absolute pleasure, man. It's literally what I loved as a kid, what I love as an adult. Coming together like this. I could talk for hours.
I know you get this all of the time, I'm sure, but the one thing that they're all asking for in the chat is one final booyah.
Is that what they're asking for?
I don't know
about that. We may have to wait until the movie.
We
may have to wait. I hear it's in the movie somewhere.
Get those seats filled in the theater.
Mum's the word. Now, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys asking, but you know, one of the things too is you also want to make sure that the character isn't relegated to a catchphrase simply. You know?
Right.
It's one of those things you know.
Are you having a laugh? Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mike Kalinowski. Tell everybody where people can find you.
At Mike Kalinowski on Twitter. 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, guys. Social media embargo is lifted. Tune in.
Mike's got some opinions.
I got a few opinions.
He's going
to
let you know.
I want to share.
Crown Jewel, Roxy Stryer.
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. Ray, thank you so much again for coming in.
No problem.
I'm Adam Gertler. You can find me at Adam Gertler. Mr. Ray Fisher, please tell the people where they can find you and follow you.
I am Ray Fisher. You may find me on all your social media platforms at Ray Fisher, or my name spelled backwards, R-E-H-S-I-F-Y-A-R.
That's what that is.
It's spelled backwards. And there's a lot of people who end up saying,
I never thought of that.
It's like, what does his name mean? It's some sort of cryptic thing, and some people will be like, I just figured it out. It's his name spelled backwards.
I did not figure it out.
Ray Fisher on Vero, Ray Fisher at Ray Fisher. Just look up Ray Fisher. I'm sure you'll find me. I'll be the cyborg guy with the little check mark. Please find me on the social media platforms. Thank you guys for believing in us. Thank you for enjoying what it is we do. It's really humbling, and thank you again.
All right, and follow Johnny Loquasto at Jay Quasto. Thanks so much for your question. And guys, it's Justice League time. We'll all be able to talk about it.
And did you know that Cyborg Life is also interchangeable with the JL? Did you know that?
Oh no! Can you do that?
Yeah.
There we go. There you go.
Open up that B.
There it is.
There's no wrong way to do it.
Happy 3 year to us.
Absolutely.
We'll
happy anniversary.
Cool.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.